You're listening to the Weed Smart podcast. Each podcast, we look at what's going on in each cropping region, focusing on those pesky weeds.
Welcome to another week of the Weed Smart podcast. This week, we're going to be focusing on disc seeding, chatting with two farmers about their systems and how they've gone with it. And Greg Condon will be co-hosting with me today. How are you going, Greg?
Well, thank you, Jess.
Now, you've been really busy doing lots of presentations all over the place. Can you give us a bit of an overview of what you've been up to?
Yeah, it's the time of year of grower updates, and I guess the retail agronomy sector have all their pre-season meetings. So I've been fortunate enough to be invited along to talk on Weed Smart activities. So, yeah, it's been good to see the feedback, both positive and negative, on people's experiences with things we've been promoting, such as chaff lining. So we've had a number of presentations done at smaller events, and then today at a local grower update in Charlton, and then the Bendigo advisor update prior to that. So it's we've sort of got a fairly high profile in terms of some of the things we promote, but we also need to sort of follow that through and get the experiences and the feedback as to what people on the ground are actually finding. So and tying it in with all the other Weed Smart messages too. So it's good to be co-presenting with people like Chris Preston and others from other weed teams from around the country, and growers and advisors get good access to some of the latest information.
Certainly. And you mentioned chaff lining there. We have been talking about that a lot on Twitter in particular. What's some of the feedback that you got on the road?
Interesting, in Victoria, there's been challenges in the pulse crops, particularly lentils, where they had carryover, particularly lettuce, those green weeds and southies are still hanging around late into crop maturity, so they couldn't get the separation to work efficiently given the lingering green material. So the chaff and the straw wasn't sort of separating out that well, so they're getting header blockages and slowing the harvest operation down, which is certainly one thing we don't want. But other growers who've done chaff lining and also chaff decks. So things with the chaff decks with the proprietary setup you can get with the baffle components and separating conveyors have worked really well. With just very little complaints with growers who are putting it out on the 3 metre tram line. So that was quite interesting. And still a few die-hard narrow windrow burners out there. So he actually spoke to a grower today who's getting ready to put some grazing wheat in coming weeks. And in some parts, they've been lucky to get a few early permits. So he was burning his canola windrows today. So, so there's a bit of a diverse range of tactics still being used, but it sort of was challenging in some areas with the frost affecting, again, the maturity of the crop. So if you've got a nice dry crop, the chaff lining chaff decks work really well because you get good separation and everything flows the way it should through the baffle and out through the straw choppers and spinners. But with crops that reshot because of the frost, so they sort of died once and then we had late rain and they grew back again. So you had secondary tillers that regrew and then actually grew quite well because the rain in southern areas was quite significant in November. The maturity and some of the green material was sort of a bit out of whack. So it was a good lesson. Good lesson. So people just took the chaff lines off, for example. Just you can't hold heads up. So it's been good feedback.
Very interesting.
Yeah, and the mixed farming aspect of the chaff, it sort of blows me away. The more people we talk to, how they are quite positive in terms of their experiences with sheep grazing chaff lines and chaff decks. They're just finding minimal sort of spreading of those rows of chaff, and the sheep are hooking into the weed seeds and the cracked grain.
Excellent. They're loving it. Well, we are focusing on disc seeding today, and the last podcast that we did that I mentioned earlier at the beginning there, it has actually been our most popular podcast that we've ever put out. We've got over 750 plays on that podcast, so it'll be interesting to see if there's still the interest in hearing about disc seeding with this podcast. But since we did that just under a year ago now, Greg, has anything changed? Have any of the messages changed around the disc seeding farming system at all?
Not so, Jess. I guess we're really reinforcing those key messages about people wanting to understand why they might want to change to a disc. So we did talk about it in that original podcast, but we've had a few growers interested in switching over, and some have actually made the leap. But we just sort of take a step back and think about why do you want to go to a disc? What's the advantage for you? And we know some of those things are well documented in terms of being able to calendar sow and handle handles double and minimise clogs. But it seems a big one that growers are really pushing for us is this narrowing of row spacing. So, Jess, the message of narrow row spacing has been promoted through WeedSmart pretty rigorously, and there's good data from around the country to suggest why. But that seems a bit of a shift in some of the thinking from growers. They're obviously wanting to keep stubble, but it's not as big a driver for a disc as what the narrow row spacing is.
Sure. So what do you think the future of those older seeding systems will be? Do you think they'll phase out eventually and be replaced by air seeding and disc seeding, or what's your sort of hypothesis around that?
No, I think generally it'll be a long time before we ever see disc seeding dominate time seeding. So in different regions you have variations. So in the northern region particularly you see a higher prevalence of disc seeders, but it's probably the time seeders. Lower costs, they give people more flexibility with pre-emergent herbicides. So, particularly in sort of those medium to lower rainfall areas, managing costs is a big function, or as are in all areas, but particularly in those lower rainfall areas that want to handle, lower levels of stubble, but use cheaper pre-emergent chemistry. So, no, I can't foresee that ever being a big change in industry. At this point in time, it's still an evolution in process. The time system's proven and works well, whereas the disc system, there's so many different components and aspects to it, and just it's a higher level of complexity. And I fully understand if growers are keen to maintain a simple system when they're seeding.
Yeah, certainly. Well, in light of that, we are going to hear from two farmers who have relatively recently changed over to a disc seeding system. The first person we're going to hear from is Murray Scholes. He's based in Henty in New South Wales. Can you tell us a little bit about this farmer, Greg, and what his, story has been in terms of, he talks about it a little bit, but maybe give a little bit of insight into some of the decision-making process for changing over to a disc system and how you might have assisted him along the way?
Yeah, well, Murray's been a great one for integrated weed management programs for a long time, and he's put a lot of effort into promoting best practice for integrated weed management. And he's probably a bit unique, and they have a mixed farming system, so they run sheep and cattle in a higher rainfall zone, and been on a parallel event time system for quite a few years. And it was, I guess, a couple of factors that drove Murray to look at this system, possibly the narrow row spacing was the biggest one, so he wanted to go from 12 back to 7-inch to sort of tighten up those rows for ryegrass competition, but also the high yield in his cereals. So that was a big driver. But the other one was quite interesting, which is a little bit different, but in some of their sloping country, because the knife point parallelogram configuration they were using moves quite a lot of dirt, so with the deeper tillage below the soil, but their soils were becoming very loose and they were having storm events, and they were finding the soils were so loose they were just seeing erosion in parts of the farm where they hadn't seen for 20 years. His father Barry has been direct drilling for, he's been probably one of the longest direct drillers in that part of the region. So the soils are sort of becoming, the aggregates are sort of starting to become so loose because of this deep tillage every year. So he wanted to sort of try and become, get that soil a bit more consolidated so it wasn't sort of so prone to move, which is something you rarely see in a no-till system.
Yeah, all right. Well, let's take a listen. Murray's been really great in his interview, and he gives a nice overview. So we'll hear more about his decision-making process and some of the factors involved. Let's take a listen. I'm chatting with Murray Scholes. He's based in Henty, New South Wales. He's got a John Deere disc 7.5-inch row system, and he's a mixed farmer, has been using disc seeding for 12 months. How are you going, Murray?
I'm good, thanks, Jess. How are you?
I'm really good. It's great to be able to chat with you. You've obviously moved over to disc seeding in the last year. What prompted you to make the change over to disc seeding?
We really wanted to know our row spacings. We've been on a 12-inch system. We were finding that we're in a high rainfall zone here, and our environment, 12 inches, is just too wide. We were letting weeds, especially the ryegrass, get a bit of a free kick by that open space. You'd still get very late germinations in the crop, but while they weren't making an impact financially, they were just keeping the seed bank ticking along, and we really weren't happy with that sort of situation. And so we wanted to go back to a narrow row spacing because all the research has shown that that we'd be able to, with crop competition, cut our weed numbers back and probably also increase our yields.
Yeah,
and so,
for sure.
Yeah, and so it was a bit stressful changing from a pine to a disc mentally, but in reality, it actually went pretty well.
Okay, cool. And so how do you go with your ability to minimise clods when dry sowing and calendar sowing? Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, the disc has certainly given us a lot of opportunities to sow on less moisture than when we had a time. And we're finding because we're not ripping open the paddock anymore, we aren't getting those clods and making the dust. The paddocks are becoming a lot smoother, and yeah, we're finding that.
That's all right.
I'm not quite sure how to tackle this because we don't really have a lot of issues.
Yeah, maybe just say that you don't actually have a lot of issues with it. Then that's fine.
We're finding that. Because we're not bringing up clods, we are getting a much better seed bed, much better for getting our pollen emergence on, and a lot less dust into the summer then when we're grazing it with stock.
Yeah, great. And have your herbicide strategies changed at all when you've changed over to this, with changing over to this system?
It has a bit. We've had to take some of the reliance on things like Treflane away. We still use quite a few pre-emergents, but we are using a lot more non-herbicide strategies. So like our crop competition, so we're combining the narrow row spaces with high seeding rates to get a good crop canopy. You know, that canopy closing over a lot earlier in the season is really helpful. Early sowing is like sowing with that stored under soil moisture. Has been really helpful too because this lets us get the crop established and the ground covered before it gets cold. We're also using things like narrow window burning, and we've reintroduced pasture phase. So we're trying to add as many tools to our weed management toolbox as we can.
Yeah. You did mention you do have a mixed farming operation. You've got sheep in the system now. How has that gone with the disc seeding?
Really, really good. It's been very helpful to, say, dual-purpose crops. The narrow row spacings mean we're getting more growth, so we've got more feed in that with feed screws that you get. And, yeah, actually, the sheep were one of the reasons we actually changed from 12-inch back to 7.5. We only brought sheep back into the system 3 years ago, and when we started grazing some of our paddocks, the 12-inch rows looked like they were corn rows. They looked so far apart, and we realised how much feed gain we were giving our grass.
Yeah, right. And Kiralee's put here as well, improved establishment. So have you noticed an improved establishment with your crop using disc seeding?
Yes. Yep. We had come from a precision planter with the pine, but we've noticed that the disc is giving us much better seed placement, much more even emergence. The crops have stayed even the whole way through the season, and they were very uniform, and we were very happy with how they performed. Their water use efficiencies last year were very pleasing. So for anyone that's thinking about going from a pine to a disc, my advice is find some good people that are already using them are doing a very good job with it, and get the advice from them, because that's what we did, and we found the transition to be really quite smooth and quite successful.
That's really excellent to hear, and it sounds like overall you've had a really positive experience. Are there any downsides for you to note for other people to consider though, like in terms of maybe maintenance?
Yeah, there's certainly a lot more maintenance required on a disc machine. I think the farming system with a disc in it also probably needs a higher level of management. A disc is less forgiving than a tine. You know, you've got to have the depths set right, and you've got to be
You know, you can't go out and start sowing if you've got a real heavy dew and a really heavy stubble load. You need to wait an hour or two and let that dew burn off. There's little things like that. You've got to be aware of the issues and be, which they aren't problems if you're aware of them. But if you just jump on a tractor and don't look back, you're probably going to end up having some problems.
Yeah, that's a good thing to note. And what about any modifications? What kind of modifications do you have to make in this system?
So we modified the closing wheel on the John Deere. We didn't use standard John Deere closing wheel. We used a spiked one that we imported from the US, which we found gave better closure of the row and we feel probably better germination rates. And also probably a bit more forgiving for when things weren't exactly right, when conditions aren't perfect. So otherwise, modifying our system, we've probably just...
That's all right, have a think.
We've probably changed some of our rotations. We're probably doing less cereals on cereals with a disc. More break crops, and again, now that we've got such a good seeder on a narrow row spacing, we're putting more lucerne into our system as, you know, for a 3 or 4 year break and sort of utilising the sheep better.
Yeah, for sure. And are there any other comments that you'd like to share about your experience over the last year?
I'd say from the time I bought this seeder till the time I used it, I was quite stressed and thinking, what the hell have I done? Why have I gone down this road? And within a few weeks of using it, when the first crop came out of the ground, I was wrapped. And yeah, looking back, you know, now 12 months later, it's like, I wonder why I didn't do it earlier. It was really noticeable how much less ryegrass we saw in our paddocks with the narrow row spacing, and it's been quite a successful modification to our farming system.
Perfect. Well, that's great to hear, Murray, and thank you so much for taking the time to give us a bit of an insight into your farming system. Really appreciate your time.
No worries.
Thank you very much to Murray Scholes there. He's in Henty, New South Wales, for giving us some of his time to share his story about changing over to a disc seeding system. And, Greg, he didn't make the decision lightly. He really was carefully assessing it before moving over, wasn't he?
He did. Murray put a lot of planning and thought and did some very thorough research. So he spoke to a lot of growers across the country, not just in his local area, to sort of see what pitfalls there might be with a change to a disc system, but also what the advantages would be. So he carefully researched that, and then he looked at what aftermarket modifications he'd make to the John Deere disc seeder with the crumble wheels and things like that, so he could get better performance out of it rather than accepting the standard machine off the shelf. But and also the preparation that the family put into the first season of disc seeding. So they prepared country by levelling the ridge and furrow, and you know, they updated their header a couple of years prior so they wouldn't have that chaff issue with hairpinning, and they've still got a liming program going on where they mix lime in with a scarifier. So all those other big ticket items were not forgotten, but they just made that conscious decision to move across to a machine with narrow row spacings and zero disturbance.
And Stephen Hattie, he is another farmer who has moved over to a disc system. He's got slightly wider rows than Murray is operating with, but only by a little bit, and he's based in Matong in New South Wales. And Stephen actually participated in Weed Smart Week, and we visited him on his farm with all the Weed Smart attendees, and that was excellent. So can you give us a bit of background on Stephen's journey of getting to the point where he wanted to change over to a disc system, Greg?
Yeah, well, Stephen and Michelle operate, as you said, at Matong in sort of west-northwest of Wagga. So they have, I guess, a high proportion of the harder-setting red soils than what someone like Murray would have. So they're clay soils, a mix of grey clay and red soils that can, they're prone to sedicity. So, again, the family's been in a no-till system for a long time with his father, Rodney. So they've got the platform there of good soil structure. But They were just finding they were limited with their older machine in terms of being able to sow by the calendar. So that's something that's promoted widely through the industry, wanting to sow by the calendar, but not bring up clods and lose that table surface moisture, which they'd often see when they're planting canola, say, in the early part or mid part of April. So they were wanting to go to a system that was fairly, resilient in that dry sowing time, but also be able to handle stubble. So they purchased an NDF, which is probably one of the premium disc feeding machines, but it does a great job in those clay soils. It just seems to be able to keep the stubble and get the crop up with minimal challenges. So it's worked really well in the first year, and they went from 13 and a third row spacing back to 10 inch row spacing. So it was a good move. But also one thing that Stephen's done he's also put other things in place before they went to a disc. So they've been running chaff decks for a couple of years now and sort of looking at harvest weed seed control to complement some of the compromises that you get with disc seeding. You can't use trifluralin on the head of cereals. So they said, well, we've got to have a few other tactics in the shed as well. So they're using double break rotations, but also the harvest weed seed control has been really, really critical.
Yeah, well, let's take a listen to Stephen's experience. He was also great and gave a good overview of some of those decision factors involved in moving over to the system, as well as giving a bit of a realistic overview of the downfalls and also the positive aspects of using a disc system. So let's take a listen. I'm chatting with Stephen Haddie. He's based in Matong in New South Wales, and he has an NDF disc system on 10-inch rows. Now, Stephen, first of all, how are you going?
Good, thanks.
So your first year using disc seeding was 2017, and you're on heavy clay soils. Can you give us a bit of an overview of how you went with the disc seeding?
The disc seeder worked pretty well for us in 17, during our first year. The year was very dry, and with the dry conditions at sowing time, we were able to get the crop in and up a bit better than I thought we would at the time, so it worked out a pretty good move.
Excellent. And what made you move over to disc seeding?
Having been looking at it for quite a while, and just the moisture conservation, the ability to keep stubble on top of the ground, less soil disturbance, being on the heavy clays, the soil disturbance, some of the issues that go with cultivation, so I thought that this might be a better fit.
Can you just give a bit of an overview of what crops you're putting in the ground, Stephen?
Currently growing canola, wheat, barley, and some pulses, being field peas, fava beans, and lentils this last year as well.
Yeah, perfect. So what made you decide on the 10-inch rows? What factors led to you making that decision?
We were on 333mm spacings, or 13 to 3rd inch. We wanted to come back narrower than that for weed competition as well as seedbed utilisation, I guess, to make a bit better use of the area. Closing up the seeding rows also allows possibly a better yield than the wide rows in certain circumstances, and we couldn't really go any closer than the 250mm with the NDF because that's about as close as the machine will allow.
Yeah, sure. And how do you go with your ability to minimise clotting when you're dry sowing?
With the disc, it's quite a soft process on the soil when it's dry. The downward pressure of the disc and the gauge wheel holds it all together, and the clods just don't seem to develop like they do at a time. The shattering of the tines, it's much softer process on the soil.
Excellent. And what about calendar sowing?
We have been sort of calendar sowing at the time, but it was a bit limited if the soil was hard and dry. But with the disc last year, anything that was a bit tough going, it just seemed to sit there nicely and just went straight through it without having to the shattering and the jarring on the machine. Just wasn't there with the disc.
Sure. And when it comes to your herbicide strategies, have they changed with the move over to the disc system at all?
Slightly changing in regards to less reliance on trifluralin. Other than that, we're probably still, most of our pre-emergent chemistry's still similar to what we were at the time. Box of Gold is out of the disc, but with Arcade, which is just one of the components of Boxer, had good results with it last year.
Do you have any plans for switching up your crop rotations or anything now that you've moved to a different system?
I don't think we'll change too much more. Just got to keep the crops in the system that are fairly reliable to earn an income from. Pulpers aren't really an income earner, but they're a break. And we regard them a bit as a fallow in a way to just give us another option to control weeds.
And what about your approach to harvest weed seed control? Is there anything you're going to do different at harvest time?
I don't think we'll do anything different than this harvest. We've had two harvests now with the female chaff deck on the header in terms of capturing quite a few weeds into the tram lines, and I think we'll just stick with that while we can keep concentrating the seeds into those tram lines. I think we'll at least to know where they are and keep putting them back on the same area. I think we'll just keep doing that for the time being and see where we go.
Perfect. And have you noticed improved establishment since using the disc system?
I think last year we probably did see better establishment given the dry conditions. It's yet to be tested in all conditions, I guess, but I think from what I've seen so far with it, I think it'll be a good move as far as establishment goes.
Perfect. And obviously, it sounds pretty positive overall for you, but are there any downsides for you? For example, do you have any maintenance issues that you're now having to focus on more than before?
I don't believe that the NDF is going to be any harder to maintain than what our old sign feeder was. We've had pressed wheels and colders and all sorts of other things going on as well, which was a high maintenance machine already.
So right.
I don't see that the NDF is going to be any more maintenance than what we've had before.
Oh, that's good to hear. And what about any modifications? Have you had to change anything to your system at all?
Not really. There's a time of just being able to have the confidence to go sowing when we want to and retain all that moisture at sowing time with the disc is probably one of the big benefits to that we've been able to sort of change the system towards that a bit.
Well, it sounds like you've had a pretty good experience so far, and yeah, good to catch up with you again and get a bit of an overview on how you're going with it all. Do you have any final comments for people who might be considering moving over to a disc system?
Well, I guess just the disc isn't for everyone, and it just sort of seemed like it would fit our system the way we were going, and I think at this stage it has. In a couple of years' time, we may have a different feeling, I don't know. But,
all right, well, thank you so much for your time, Stephen. Really appreciate it.
No worries, thanks, Jess.
Thank you very much to Stephen Hattie there for giving us an overview of how he's gone in the last year with his disc seeding system. And Greg, so can we just go over some of the pros and cons, I guess, of moving over to a disc system, I suppose, now that we've heard from these two farmers?
Well, I guess there's a lot of change in agronomy associated with disc systems. So as we've mentioned over the years and even during this podcast, if you've been in a tine system which is quite well established and understood, you need to actually sort of, with your agronomist as well, go through what changes will be needed to make the disc system work and not expose your business to more risk. So, the reasons people go to a disc, as we talked about, they want to be able to calendar sow, they want narrow row spacing, they want to be able to handle stubble, but also things like being able to calendar sow and not generate clods in some of these clay soils. So, we've sort of come up with some really good rules of thumb that we need to harvest high, so you minimise the amount of chaff that gets put out the back of the header, so you're not ending up with that hairpinning problem that some of the disc seeders can cause, and really reducing your crop establishment, because if you reduce your crop establishment, that ultimately reduces your yield and weed problems that might occur later on. So, and then the herbicides are a big thing as well, so I think that's something, as a weed smart perspective, we probably need to put more information out there. But there are different herbicide options, and if people are interested in what preems will work, they can use the dye and the UV light system to sort of see what sort of incorporation they're getting with different disc seeders. But even Mick Feld's trick, which he suggested, is go and buy a bulk bag of builder's chalk and put that down on the ground and run your disc seeder through it and actually see what level of incorporation you might or might not get with your configuration. So, a standard single disc like a John Deere XL is going to be quite different to, say, a K-Hart or an NDF machine. So it's just getting an understanding of what chemistry you can use in your soils and your systems. And generally we stay away from trifluralin and cereals, but all the other herbicides that we can use in canola that are a bit more soluble certainly are safe. So it's just sort of going through that process and knowing what works and what doesn't. With the D-seed, you sort of need to go to narrow rows to offset that loss of some of those cereal preems like Frost Little. And so and having a backup plan with harvest wheat seed control, that's probably one thing as well. So we've got more emphasis on crop competition, which happens in any system, but you really need to look at a harvest weed seed control to sort of back up any escapes that might happen in the DIS system.
Yeah, sure. And more generally, Greg, many growers around the country will be looking at starting their seeding program in the coming weeks. Do you have any tips or any information that you think would be valuable for growers to keep in mind during this time?
I guess it's probably nearly ready to start in some areas where there's a bit of grazing canola going in early, but it's just, I guess, having a plan to sort of know, particularly from a wheat perspective, what crop types or what varieties you might even put into different paddocks. So we discussed it at one of the grower meetings. So if you've got a barley, for example, going into the different paddocks, one that might be a weedy paddock versus one that's a fairly clean paddock. So the low tillering varieties like Latrobe, behind marsh, Spartacus would go into the cleaner paddocks, and then your more competitive crop types like the Fathom or Planet go into your weedier paddocks. So just sort of little decisions like that some growers are finalising their variety choices and crop types at this point in time. That's sort of something to give consideration to. Hybrid canola that works in South Australia versus OP canola certainly competes better against ryegrass. So it's just sort of being strategic in where some of those crop choices might happen.
Yeah, certainly. Well, it's always informative chatting with you, Greg, and I think, really valuable to look a bit more closely at those disc seeding systems with some farmer case studies in the podcast today. I think it really helps growers have a better understanding of the pros and cons and lets them also evaluate whether their own system would be able to handle being shifted over to disc seeding or if it's not really for them. So thank you so much for spending the time co-hosting today, Greg.
Thanks for the opportunity, Jess.